Pronto. Remember the battery? I think it might be the battery. Okay. So I heard a story this week which I want to share with you. So it tells a Shiva in my days. So the way the Zaman worked was you at the end of the Zaman, there's oral for hair from the Shivas in the high school. There's no written beginner. Your grade was your oral for hair. And it was done by the Shir. You got one question. That was your grade for the Zaman. It wasn't always so great. But besides that, there was something called Midzamans, which were unannounced. The Shivas would walk in one day down the Shir, last 15 minutes of Shir, and they would go around the room and ask questions. So Rebbe walks over to Bacher X. I heard this from the individual who's now in his 70s. He says, Sally, he says, you're not feeling well today, right? He says, no, Rebbe, I'm feeling fine. He says, you're not feeling well today, right? Yeah, you look a little pale. I think maybe you have fever. You should go to the infirmary and check it out. Maybe you should go to the dorm and take a rest. So he went to the dorm and took a rest because the Rebbe said so. And that was the day of the Midzmans. Which the Rebbe knew beforehand that the Shivas are coming, and he also knew that the Bacher wasn't learning so well, so that the Bacher shouldn't be embarrassed. He sent him to a good excused absence. They shouldn't be embarrassed. I went to be Menachem Oval, the family of this Rebbe this week, which is just Nifter. His name is Rebbe Yitzchok Notis. The story resonated tremendously with me. I was in his shir, I was very close with him. The story resonated very, very significantly with me because I could picture him. I could picture all parts of the story. Suddenly, you're not feeling well today, right? You know, that type of. You know, I could picture him saying it. I was distracted from the story. Reynoris was probably out of all my rebbeim, he was the biggest eli that I met. And this is besides your gifter, besides Reb Chaim, he was an Eloi, a bona fide Eloi. How do I know? I have a few rayas, but my biggest raya is one time I was standing in his study and I was looking at a swarm and I saw that he had a Rogachev on the Rambam and I opened it up and I noticed that he had underlinings and notes on the side. So I was very curious to see how far this would go, you know. And it started going through it page by page and through the whole sefer from cover to cover. There were annotations, underlinings, and notes on the side of the Rogachev and the Rambam. Now, if you've ever tried to read the Rogachev and the Rambam, you can't read it. Forget about writing notes on it. So that was one raya. The other raya, which maybe you guys would relate to better, he was the yeshivas, besides being a Rebbe, he became a Rebbe as a Bacher. He took him as a man to go dating. He was also Yeshiva's accountant. He never went to college. So one time I asked him, like, Rebbe, you know, how do you show me Yeshiva's accountant? So he says, Shiva Baruch says, Rebbe Yitzchok, Yeshiva needs an accountant. So he became an accountant. I said, Rebbe, what does that mean? Like, you know, yeah, it's like, you know, can I do that too? Like, you know, he says, I studied for the test. I took the test. Okay. So in those days, apparently, you didn't have to go to college to take the CPA. So he took the CPA and he passed the CPA. Like, you know, yeah. Some of you have friends who are taking the CPA. You understand what that means. So he says, so Rebbe, so how long did it take you? And he says, 6 months. Bein Astorim, like while he was saying shir. Right? I was once sitting in shir. When I sat in shir, he stood here and I sat here. So he was facing there, and I was facing like I was like right here, so I could like look up and see what he was doing. So one day he flips to the back, he starts reading the Ran, and he's reading it fine, etc. Then I realized I looked up, and he's on the wrong page. Like he was reading the Ran on the Rift by heart, you know. I mean, he just flipped to the back because you flipped to the back, but you don't have to read from the back because like that's a waste of time because you know it by heart, you know. So he was an Eloi. But he was an Eloi who was related to the fact that this Bacher would be embarrassed. He never raised his voice. In all the years that I knew, I asked the children, I says, do you ever remember your father ever raising his voice? He said, no, he never raised his voice. He could be strong. Like, you know, he would say, it's not acceptable. But that was like raising his voice. Like, that was like as far as he went. What was beautiful to me about the shir was the way it worked. This is the Mechinen tells, by that age already, the Bacharim had to read, the Bacharim said the shir. So the Bacharim would prepare for a Seder, would prepare the Gemara they're learning for the day. He would tell them beforehand that he has to come from here to here. And the Bacharim would read the Gemara Rashi Tosis, the shir. And there was a rotation, so you knew which turn it was. And he would inform you beforehand. Say, if you need to get extra time to prepare, you can get an older harusa to help you. You can get whatever you want, but you're going to read. You're going to read and share. You're going to sit and share, and you're going to read the Gemara. He read with you, and he touched so that to make sure it was clear, etc. But he believed that every bacher in the shir was going to be able to say the Gemara. This is from the best bacher in the shir to the weakest bacher in the shir. You're going to do it. And the Bacharim says, I can't do it. Rebbe, yeah, you're going to do it. And sometimes he would help them. So first Seder, he would stop by first Seder and help them prepare. He'd check on them. But everybody read the Gemara. Every single Bacharim in the Shir. And some Bacharim did better than some Bacharim worse. But there's no way you laughed at somebody when the guy stumbled. Not with him looking at you. Because that was one of the most sternest glances you ever got from him, was when he would stare at you if you were making fun of somebody else. This Bacher is trying hard. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. So, what are you making fun of him for? What are you laughing about? It's fun to watch somebody else being uncomfortable. I used to go to his house, Motzei Shabbos. We have my Malka. A few Bacher used to go like on a weekly basis. Used to go to the house. We'd finish off all of the leftovers from Shabbos, and the Rebbe would have to make new food for us also because we finished all the leftovers from Shabbos. So we'd walk in and we'd say hello to him, you know, and then he'd say, and then we'd go into the kitchen, the Rebbetzin, which was the Rebbetzin, etc. He had tremendous pleasure, the fact that Bacharim would be comfortable coming to the house. He was a shy person. He didn't schmooze a lot. But the hanoah that he had, that, you know, Bacharim felt comfortable coming to the house, and that was part of it. Now, you're growing up in a generation, you don't even realize what that means. You know, like, this is the 1970s. That wasn't necessarily standard yeshivish operating procedure, that the Rebbe should be this nice, warm, comfortable person. That's just, no. I mean, they were all like that, but they didn't know how to show it. Omer Rebbe were very warm. Just, I want to mention to somebody that I can count on my two fingers the times I got a compliment from a gifter. You know, not a hand, you know. They weren't into like this touchy-feely type of stuff, you know. We knew that they cared about us, but that wasn't. So we noticed it was a little more effusive. But that was enough. And it was warm to go to his house. It was warm to be there with him. It was warm to be, you know, in his presence. I used to walk him home probably almost every day after shir. And he would take whatever he was talking about in shir, and he would continue the thought process. I lost him 90% of the time. I lost him somewhere along the way. You know, he was talking to me in Cheshbon, like this and that and that. You know, I would lose him. I didn't follow 100% what he was saying, especially because I was also trying to be careful where I was walking. But he enjoyed the fact, you know, that Bacher wanted to walk, you know, that he felt that you can get a little more, so let's get a little more. So he said in shir, what he said in shir, I think you can do a little better, I think you can do a little more, so let's do a little more. He tried to address everybody's needs. At one point in time, he became the Rosh Mechina. The Rosh Mechina retired, and he became the Rosh Mechina. That lasted for a year. The discipline part wasn't his forte. So the Bacher in his shir, we were in awe of him, that he didn't need to discipline us. I mean, you know, a one word or a look was enough to discipline, because we just were in awe of him, of, you know, his yedius and etc. You know, just. But the younger guys didn't have the same type of so that was, he recognized himself after a year that it's not his, where he wants to be, what he wants to do. But when he did it, because there was a crisis, and he did as best as he could. He came to Tzel Yeshiva from Saginaw, Michigan. $50. Where in the world is Saginaw, Michigan, right? Right, you know. So Saginaw, Michigan is about 3 hours north of Detroit. His father was a Slobodka Talmud. His father was a Rav of the Moyel, the Sheikhet, the Chazen, the Balkare, the everything. Look, it's called the Kolboy in the city of Saginaw, Michigan. And so he went to public school. His father obviously learned with him, and he went to public school. And he came and tells yeshiva in the 1940s and stayed there till Saif Yomim, he moved to Lakewood. So he wasn't well. He moved to near the children. He didn't have a significant background. Like, whatever his father was able to get for him. His father was busy taking care of all the needs of the city. Obviously, he had a lot of kishrin. But when he came to yeshiva, he didn't have a lot. He didn't have a lot of yediyas. But they took him to yeshiva. Obviously, they saw his potential. They took him to yeshiva for potential. I just want to show you a thought. I had a ha'ara. I saw a vort this year from Ramesh Eisman, Shlomo from Shlomo. The lach is by the Haggadah that it's done derech shaila v'tshuva. So the father, the child asks the father, and the father responds. Mishnah says, Rama Paskins, he doesn't have a ben, ishta shalos shalta. The wife asked him. He doesn't have a wife, they're not with his wife, so shalom zezeh. And if he's all by himself, he shalos atzmai. So what exactly does it mean to be Sheryl is Atzmai? So it's a game, What was the story? Oh, the story, wow, that was so interesting. I never heard that before. I mean, like, what exactly is this? What do you mean you're Sheryl is Atzmai? It's just like you go through a pro forma question. Like, what exactly does that mean? So he suggests the following. The mile of the Av is that the father has knowledge, and the father has experience. And the son is lacking that knowledge and lacking that experience. And the father's goal is to take from his knowledge and his experience and impart it to the child, that the child should know how to deal with situations. So as a matter of fact, though, we're all in that same situation. We're presented with a new, difficult situation which we haven't dealt with before. So what do we do? We say, what experiences do I have and what knowledge do I have which will allow me to address this situation? What can I learn from what I've experienced which will allow me to help me figure out what to do? So at that point in time, we're going through a Shaila V'Tshuva process. We're asking ourselves, what, based on the information that I have before, what can I help for the future? So the purpose of Shaila V'Tshuva is to take the past and project the past into the future. So I saw this machshava before the Seder. A few days before the Seder. And it was transformational for me, how to approach the Seder. So what I heard in those words, I don't know whether he meant to say that or not, but I heard in those words is that the purpose of the Seder is to take the lessons that Klal Yisrael learned by Yetzias Mitzrayim and figure out how they're going to help us deal with what we're going to be facing in the future. And one of the things I spoke about by the Seder was the fact that the Rosham's relationship with Klal Yisrael is not built on our past. It's built on our future. Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is the sluth that Klal Yisrael has that they should be God of Mitzrayim? And the Malachim ask it in their own way. They say, these are Avdei Zarah, these are Avdei Zarah. So Klal Yisrael is Avdei Zarah. Nishkin Grois Tzadikim, right? The Avdei Avodah Zarah. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Mechir Yitzis Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim?" So Moshe Rabbeinu answers, "Ki Vatzich Asa'om in Mitzrayim Tavdu Nesalkim Al Har Hazeh." So it says, you should know when you take on Mitzrayim, there'll be Tavin Osi Al Harazet, Shetakablo Ataralo, V'yas Schus, Hoy Menes the Yisrael. So the Schus for Klai Yisrael, as you see, is not their past, it's their potential. They're not looking at saying, "Kaisa, wow, they're big tzaddikim, they're wonderful." That's not. Kaisa grapples with Moshe Rabbeinu's Isis, Vayamein Om, and then they complain. They get to Yamsuf. It's a challenge. Throughout the Midbar, they're not perfect. But the Rosh Hashanah wants a relationship with Klai Yisrael anyway. Not based on how well you've done in the past, but what we hope, the potential which we see that you will develop and you will produce in the future. A lot of times people's challenge is, that we have is self-doubt. Can I do this? Do I deserve it? Those are the challenges. We have external challenges, we have internal challenges. I don't believe in myself. Reb Tzadok says, it's a shame that a person is miming in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person has to be miming in himself. Because if he's not miming in himself as well, he's been denying. So he's telling him the Lashon Yachid. Medr says that the Dibur of Kadosh Baruch came to each individual person and spoke to him individually. Now, in Svora, what he's saying is absolutely logical. Right? The Rosh doesn't make mistakes. So he made me with my Kishrin, he made me with my faults, he made me with my upbringing, he made me with my background, he made me with my personality, he made me. He really messed up. No. The Russian made me. He wants me to be this way. He could have made me with the most edela, geschmacka, brilliant young man, and it would have been wonderful. But for some reason, he didn't do that. The Russian knows what he's doing. If you have a problem with that, it means you don't really believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But I always wondered, where did he see it? In the Pasuk. He says he's lacking in the moon and Noch Hashem Lekecha, Shatikha Meisabotim. That's what we're saying. The Rosh says, I took out of Mitzrayim not because you're wonderful tzaddikim, because you're not. Let's be honest. But that's okay. I'm good with making a relationship with you even so. And I believe in that you have what to accomplish. And you're going to mess up. I know that. But you're not supposed to say, the pasuk says, the Rosh was that they tested Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Midbar 10 times. Didn't end well always, but the Rosh says, I'm in this relationship. I mentioned to you that Rav Hirsch has the Sa'ara. The Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klai Yisrael, and he says the secret formula. Tells Klai Yisrael, the Bershom, that the Bershom sent him to tell Klai Yisrael, Pekadati. So, Rashi says, because they had the Masura, that's the Lashon that the true girl is going to say. So he told Klai Yisrael had that Masura. So if you want to be a charlatan, you say, well, come on, Pekadati, it's a Raya. What's the Raya? So Rabban has his terrors, but he says, what's a Pekita? The Gol Gaalti. Right? So maybe the gula, the Lashon gula should be that he brushes and says, I'm going to Egol. I'm going to Egol. What's Pekai Pekadati? Says, you look at the Psukim, Pekidim, or a Pekid is a person who's appointed to something. If Moshe Rabbeinu would come and say, listen, the goal is, you see, it's Mitzrayim, you're free, good time, Independence Day. Fireworks, have a great time. Barbecue, it's wonderful. They're out. That's not what they were told. They were told that Klal Yisrael's promised that they're going to play a role. They're going to get a pekida. They're going to be appointed to play a role in the history of the world. If you don't really have, you want to say we're going to go free, you say go free. It says, you know, I have a job for you. Well, what's the job? Oh, you have a job. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says that the Rosh Hashanah said, we're going out of Mitzrayim. We're going to go to Har Sinai. You're going to get the Torah. We're going to play the role of going to be the Menachos Kohen and Megay Kodesh of the world. That's something that they could hear. Klal Yisrael's dream of cutting out of Mitzrayim, again, they weren't perfect. 4/5 didn't make it out. So the 1/5 that made it out, like they're Gevaldik. Well, the 1/5 that we have, all of which happened in the Midbar was the 1/5 who made it out. Can't smach on a Kal V'Chomer on the other, the 4/5. Who composed the Hallel that we say? The more in Sochem has a Machloikus, the more has a 6-way Machloikus, Tanoyim. Who composed the Hallel? One shot is that Klal Yisrael composed the Hallel. Klal Yisrael composed the Hallel. Because the Mor says it's Efshir that they're going to be shat in the Korban Pesach and they're going to be eating the Korban Pesach and they didn't say Hallel. So Klal Yisrael composed Hallel. So the words we're saying when we say Hallel tomorrow morning, that's going to be the words of Klal Yisrael. Mm-hmm. People went through the camps. Lor Leinu went through the... And there's liberation of the camps. So people were tremendously ill. They couldn't really, weren't cognizant to understand. The people which were well enough to understand what's happening. So they're happy. They're excited. They say, thank you to Hashem. They're from. I survived. I'm healthy. I have freedom. That's what would be in our minds. Yechidim. The first thing on their mind was, where can I get a pair of tefillin? Tzitzis, a yarmulke, learning, davening. Mamash yechidim, yechidim. Klal Yisrael is mechaber, they mechaber hallel. What are their first words? Hallel avdei Hashem. We should be praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendously that we are avdei Hashem. Okay. Second paragraph, basically, yeah, we're free. No, Haisa Yehuda Lakotra, Yisrael Mam Shalisa. Klal Yisrael is the dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next capital, Loilonu Hashem, Loilonu, Kilashim Kotein Kovoy. Next capital, finally, Hathaki Yishma Hashem is Kerli Tachan Hanoi, Kaisa Shuasa, Hashem Hashem, right? I'm going to be Nidral Hashem Hashalem. Klal Yisrael is ecstatic that they're avdei Hashem, that they're mezoichet to play a role, to given this role that Moshe Rabbeinu was describing. Klal Yisrael is ecstatic that they're in a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But they don't have to be perfect to be in that relationship. The hakaras hatov, the recognition. The idea that I want to be successful, I will try, and I might fail. But a chesim is a very big thing. The union of achana, before you do mitzvahs, the union of achana. So they make a big thing about achana. I had this experience. I went to a davening in the chesidish shul that they're known for, like very intense davening. So Pesukah Zimra was like Shabbos morning was like 50 minutes from Baruch Shomer from Heidi. Till Nishmas was like, so well, the members, you're screaming and they're singing and they're dancing and it's Gevaldik. So Litvak that I am, I said, Meita, this is what this is looking. You can imagine Birchas Kriyashma and Shmon Esrei. Birchas Kriyashma was vroom, Shmon Esrei was vroom. Like, what happened? Like, they lost me at the first turn, you know, like I figured after such a Pesukah Zimra, you can imagine what everything else should look like, Litvak that I am. It's a Pesukah Zimra, it's Hachana. Hachana, they make a big avoid about. So Sema says, you know what? You're not going to do the mitzvah perfectly. Don't fool yourself. Kriya Shema with Kavana, every single word, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe, you know. Kabbalah Tomach HaShemayim, yeah, Kabbalah HaShemayim. Kibshan Eish, yeah, Mamish. Kabbalah Tomach HaMitzvahs. But the Ratzin that you want to do that, that you could be, that could, that could be, that could be full. I wish I was able to make a true Kabbalah Tomach HaShemayim. I know that I'm not ready for it yet. True Kabbalah Tomach HaShemayim, I'm not there. I'm capable to do the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu every single rag of my life. Probably not. I'm trying to be honest with myself. I'm capable to do the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu for the next hour. Maybe even that, which we wonder about. But I want to do that. The Ratzon, the Achon is the Ratzon. The relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu is based on the Ratzon. The Ratzon says, I have a job for you. I have a dream for what, the role that I would like you to play. I have the dream job for Klal Yisrael. Kadosh says, we want that. We want that. Comes down to Lamaisa. There's by Kriyas Yamsuf, Klal Yisrael complains, and then afterwards by Mora, and then by Ramon, and then by Rafa Yeminotara. I mean, you know, until you get the Kabbalah Sotara, they blew it like four times, and then you have the Midbar. But they never took away from that Kleisel, what they wanted. We're starting as Zman. Everybody has their dreams for Zman. Like, now I'm supposed to say the way Shmuzim. You know, Shmuzim. Learn Torah, like that's like the beginning. Haskalos Zman Shmuzim, you know. Can't ignore that part, you know. It's a pastiche. We want to sit and learn a seder. We want to work out a sugya klor. Stay up late to get the sugya klor. We want that. Somewhere from the wanting to the doing is always. It seems like you get lost in the translation. And I'm not saying you should. Okay, it's fine. As long as I want, it's okay. It's not called wanting. But recognizing that. The fact that you're not being fully successful in turning your rotzen, what you want, into reality, respecting the potential inside of yourself, respecting the rotzen inside of yourself, and doing as best as you can, recognizing that it's okay. Sometimes you're going to need to sleep in the day of the mitzvah because you talk and aren't doing so great, but it doesn't make a difference. That's not how you define yourself. You're not defined by your failures. You're not defined by your successes. You're defined by how much you're willing to try and make that happen, and how much you want to try to make that happen. And that's all the Russian makes it. That's the Russian's relationship with Klal Yisrael is based on that Ratzon.